Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
So we're going to talk about a subject that I believe is very important, because it's a subject that we at times probably talk to our children about. I think it's times that we maybe talk to, maybe we point fingers at our friends or our husbands, or you're not doing this and you're not doing that. Have you ever like heard a message in church and you're like, oh, that's so good, I'm gonna get the CD and hand it over to somebody else? Yeah. I think that God is really wanting us to listen to it for ourselves today. And I want you to know that this is a very different type of message. When I kept typing it out, it kept changing. And I finally just had to tell God, I'm done. Like, we're just gonna do this. We're just gonna say it the way it is, because every time I get in the way, it changes. And so we're gonna do an expository type message. Do you know what expository means? Okay, we're gonna go back to Bible college, okay? Expository is when you take a verse and you dissect it a little at a time. This is Women Rock Bible Study. So we're gonna get into our Bible today and we're gonna dissect a story, okay? And from this story, there are warnings for us to live by in this story. From this story, we're gonna learn what not to do with God. And from this story, we're going to learn about the warnings of disobedience. You see, disobedience affects our life so much more than we realize. And when we decide to make some decisions for ourselves or for our families, in our thought, mind, in that soul realm that we talked about, remember we just talked about it, if we don't allow the spirit man to come in and to take over our thoughts, guess what happens? We become our own God. And we walk in disobedience to what God wants us to do. And so I believe that obedience is a humongous part of our Christian walk, but so many times we don't operate in obedience, we operate in disobedience. In fact, when God was talking to the Israelites, he talked about, could you turn Deuteronomy 28 picture up for me, Stephen? This is my Bible. You see the yellow? That's all the blessings of obedience. See all the purple? That's all the curses of disobedience. God is not playing around. That was just a quick visual. Now go back and read it for yourselves. Make note to go back and study these verses out, because we cannot cover them all today. This would be like a series, okay? And then it would probably be one you don't want to keep coming to. So, so go back and make a study of it, because God's not kidding when he talks about not doing the right thing. Most of the time when I talk to my children, it's correcting them on the wrong thing. It's not, hey, you're doing so good. It's, why do you have that attitude about something? Just this morning, my son, he's just contrary to his brother. And then when we say something to him, he's not able to function and he gets all upset and flustered and mad. And then he's getting in trouble for what? His attitude, not the actual situation. Sometimes I wonder if we just cause all this disruption. And God is like, I'm trying to get to your heart, but you're so loud and you're so everywhere with it. I can't correct the issue because you're everywhere. That's how Micah was today. He was just everywhere. I couldn't get him to calm down enough for him to listen to what I was saying. He kept bringing the subject up with him and Titus, my other son. And I said, what I'm trying to get to is I understand the situation, but it's bigger than that. This is a heart issue. And I had to sit down with him and break the word out. I had to sit down with him. It literally took my whole morning, so this is why I have curly hair today, okay? But you know, I could have gotten upset about it. And the Lord showed me, no, that is your job as a mom, is to stop your day, allow it to be interrupted so you could teach them my word. Because I told Micah, I want you to be a good employee one day. I want you to be able to submit to authority. I want you to be a good husband one day, because this attitude will ruin a marriage. This attitude will ruin a job. This attitude will ruin your children, because it's always about you. It's a selfishness. And selfishness is linked up with disobedience. And so let's look at what Saul did. There's a man by the name of Saul, and we're gonna learn from Saul today. But before we get to Saul, I wanted to read this verse. It jumped at me when I was studying, and I felt like the Spirit of God was on every part of it. In 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God and pulling down every stronghold, casting down the arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." You see, when we are in a path of righteousness, it's not easy to stay on our path of righteousness. Righteousness, listen to me, is right standing with God. Okay, Dan last night talked about sacrificial grace. Sacrificial and righteousness are not the same thing. It's your path, it's your process to grace. It's your path and process to righteousness. You're both in those things. So when we are in a right standing with God, it is easy for us, we think, to keep going with God, right? But what happens? The enemy comes in to lie to us and to begin to, oh, you aren't good at that. Oh, no, 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 that's not your spot. Oh, no, 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 that's not where you should be. Oh, no, 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 your healing is not for you. Oh, no, 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 your finances, they're gonna overtake you. You should be in fear about this. You see, the enemy just comes and he brings fear. He brings confusion, he brings chaos. Those are those vain imaginations, those arguments that then tend to get us off our course, listen to me, and we then walk down a path of disobedience according to the word of God and according to what God says, okay? So it's taking us down a new thought process. So we are casting down our vain imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, listen to this, to the obedience of Christ. This is a battle, girls. When hell or high water comes, you're gonna need to know how to defend yourself. You're gonna need to know how to keep yourself on course of obedience and not the course of disobedience. You're gonna have to know what God's word says so you can stand firm in it, because everybody else is gonna try and take you off that course. Disobedience is knocking at our door. The enemy is waiting to take our thoughts captive. But we put every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. So what does that mean? I really pondered on that verse this week. Like, what does that mean, God? And the Lord took me back on my journey. And he said, you know, you were just like Micah. You were passionate and you were feisty and you did all these things. And I had to, remember, humble you at that point and have that conversation with somebody at that point and expose that for you on that point. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let's not relive all of these painful moments. Thank you, Lord. You know, it was like, those were not fun moments. Those were the moments where you're flipped inside out and God is pointing out all of your negatives, right? But sometimes those moments aren't so bad, because then once they get healed, and then you can walk in an attitude of obedience to what, according to what God says, and not what you say or man says, but what God says, then you know what happens? Then you can minister to somebody else on their level. You can say, listen, I see this in you, and I want to have a conversation with you about it. You're not walking in righteousness. You are walking down disobedience according to the word of God. You're calling yourself a Christian. You're saying you're doing this, but we're not in obedience to what the word says. The word says that we will serve God with all of our heart, that we follow his command and his command only. You know, we hold each other accountable to this, and we cannot do that until we are in our own course of obedience. You can't correct someone else. And that's what that verse is talking about. So let's talk about this. We're going to talk about all of these things in this one story. His name is Saul. Now, the Israelites wanted a king for themselves, an earthly king, and Jesus, God of heaven, said, you don't need a king, you have me. And they said, oh, no, no, we want a king for ourselves. So you know what he did? He was merciful and gracious and gave them a king. He anointed Saul, and Saul was the king, and Saul did his own thing a lot of the times. But in this last part of Saul's reign, let's see what happens. 1 Samuel 15:1-3, I'm gonna do it in the New Living Translation. It says, one day Samuel said to Saul, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of Israel. Now listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of the heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek and opposing Israel with which they came against Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalek's nation. Men, women, children, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. So he's telling Saul, they came against my people, annihilate them. I want you to go into their camp and I want you to get rid of every ounce of what they've owned and who they are and what they relate with, because it is nothing but ungodliness and I'm gonna wipe it from the face of the earth. Saul had a big task at that point, but this is what Saul did. So many times we're on our course and we think we're doing what God asked us to do. God has not asked you to wipe out nations, has he? But maybe God has asked you to be real honest with some family members, and you've been afraid of their reaction to you. Maybe God has asked you to intercede and pray every day for certain people, and you've just gotten weak and tired, and you haven't, and you've given up. Maybe God has asked you to change some bad habits in your life, and you haven't taken it serious enough to look at it for yourself because, oh, I've got this, God, I've got this. So Saul went out thinking he had it. This is what happens. Disobedience, the warnings of disobedience, number one, listen to me. Disobedience will defeat us. We will be defeated if we walk in disobedience. There will be no victory in your walk. There will be no victory in your world. Samuel, he went out. He attacked everybody. I'm just going to summarize this because it's a big, long passage. He went out. And he went to his way, Saul went his way, Saul went and started killing all the Amalekites. Good Lord, those people that went against God, bam, drop the mic. All right, so I'm glad you all can laugh with me because remember, it's been a really long week. Okay, so they go out and God is telling him, wipe them out. So he does, he kills everybody but except King Ag. Why did he keep King Ag alive? I don't know. Then his men decided, well, let's keep the best sheep, the best goat, the best cattle of all of them. And then we'll make them a sacrifice unto God. So they start bringing everything back into their camp. You know what happens? God is not happy. Why? Because he disobeyed. So God wakes up Samuel. Listen, could you not disobey? Because I don't want to get woken up on your behalf, all right? So here's Samuel, and God's like, wake up. I'm not happy with Saul right now. I love what God said here. Oof. He said, I am sorry, verse 11, that I ever made Saul king. The fear of God came on me when I read that. I'm like, here God put him in his position. Here God gave him everything he needed to walk that path. It's just like us Christians. God has given us every tool that we need to live in this life, to live in godliness and to walk in his ways. But yet, I don't want God to say, I am sorry I ever welcomed them into my kingdom. They have turned their back on me. They have disobeyed me. They have walked away from my commandments. You say, oh, but he's such a loving God. He is, but he doesn't play games either. And listen, God is doing that with us today. He's saying, reboot, daughter. Reboot, because you don't want to end up like Saul. Verse 11, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. The thing about Saul is Saul did not see that he was refusing God's command. He thought he was doing God's command, but Saul got in his own way. Saul's head was bigger than what God wanted. Saul thought that he had it all. He knew it all. Here he was king. He was put on a pedestal. People loved him. You see, be careful of what God gives you and using it against him. God will bless you. Don't use your blessings to not praise God and honor God in it. Don't use your blessings for your own exaltation. Don't use your blessings for the disobedience of God. He will flip that script on you faster than you know. And it says, Saul was so deeply moved that when he heard, he cried out to the Lord. Early that next morning, Samuel ran after Saul. Check this out. Guess where Saul was? Listen to this. Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Then he went to Gilgal. I'm scared for Saul right now, even though I know the end of his story. Every time I read it, I'm like, oh, God. Okay. Disobedience not only will bring defeat, but it will also bring pride. Disobedience will bring pride. Pride comes in many forms. It comes in insecurity. Did you know that? I think pride is actually expressed through women in insecurity because it's a manipulative way for us as women to get our way. We feel bad about ourselves. We just don't like ourselves. We're so mean. No, da, 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 da. Oh, shut up and grow up. Get over it. Find out what the Word of God says about you and stop it. Because we're wallowing in foolishness. We're wasting time not doing who we are and what we are and what God has equipped us to do. It's a time waster. When we get so insecure about ourselves, that's when the enemy can come in, those casting those vain imaginations down. That's a vain imagination. Because God says he formed you, he loved you, he created you. You are a mirror and a picture of him. So why would God want you to act out in insecurity? It's given by the enemy. It's a tool and a ploy of the enemy that we so easily fall into. So here it is. He's in pride. Disobedience will bring pride. Let's go to verse 13. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted cheerfully. Oh, I love this. May the Lord bless you, Saul or Samuel. This is Saul saying it to him. I have carried out the Lord's command. aren't I great? That's pretty much what he was saying. And Saul is looking at him, and I'm sure Saul wanted to just knock him out. But Saul played it cool, and he said, well then, what is all of these bleating of sheep and goats and lowly cattle that I hear? So he called him out on it. He said, oh yeah, you carried out the Lord's command. I hear sheep, I hear goats, I hear all this. Then he says, and why is King Ag alive? He says, oh, I kept him, you know, because all of this. He had all these excuses. Saul had all these excuses. Pride will bring justification and excuses into your life. You will justify your disobedience. You will make excuses for your disobedience. You will try and talk yourself into why you did it. But listen, you're not fooling God. Saul did not fool God. God saw all. He knew the intent of his heart. Remember, God sees the intent of our heart. He's not looking at the words of our mouth. He sees what is in our heart. It goes on to say in verse 16, then Samuel said, Saul, stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. What did he tell you? Saul asked. And then Samuel says to him, although you may think of yourself, you are not a leader of the tribes of Israel. The Lord has anointed you as king of Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Simple question. Sometimes, why do I not obey God? Why? Is it fear that stops me from making that step of faith that God's asking me to do? Why do I not obey God? Because it's more in my mind process. This process seems like the right one, and God's process doesn't make any sense. So I'm gonna go with what makes sense. You see, we can justify ourselves out of the will of God in 2 seconds. You can walk down a path of disobedience so easily, you don't even realize you're on a path of disobedience. Saul was totally convinced that he did what God asked him to do until Samuel said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You have sheep over here. You have King Ag over here. You did not fulfill what God asked you. He said, everyone, all living thing, gone. And Samuel says this. He starts making excuses. But I did obey the Lord. Verse 20. Saul insisted, I carried out the mission that he gave to me. I brought back King Ag, but I destroyed everyone else. Oh, but God, I did this, but I didn't do this, but I did this, God. Do you have kids that do that to you? Oh, yeah, I did what you asked me to do. Well, why didn't you do this? Because that was the whole part. I can't tell you how many times. Go clean the toy room. I go up there. There's still certain things. Well, that's Titus's stuff. I'm not picking that up. No, I didn't say only clean up your stuff. I said clean the toy room. I don't care whose stuff is what. Put it away. Constantly, I'm having this conversation with my daughter. You have to finish what you start. If I tell you something and you do half of it, that's disobedience. Some obedience is no obedience. All obedience is obedience. Some obedience in our walk with God is disobedience to God. He wants it all. So here's Saul trying to negotiate again. And then he says, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices, verse 22, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering of a fat and a ram. Listen to this, verse 23, fear of God. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Here's Saul, thought he was doing the right thing. This continues on. You know what poor Samuel had to do? He had to pull King Ag out. King Ag, at this point, it says in the word that he was thinking, oh good, I'm out of the woodworks. I'm out of it. I'm good, I'm safe. They're not gonna kill me now. He had to chop him to pieces. Samuel did. God will find someone else to take care of what you don't handle. And then that person will be anointed for a greater position. And you'll wonder, why did they get it and not me? Maybe because you were disobedient. Maybe because things didn't walk. Where was your heart in that situation? See, God is asking us to check ourselves. Do we operate in pride? Are we not seeing victories, but we're just seeing defeat in our life? Maybe we're in some disobedience. This is what Saul should have done, okay? Let's talk about this. When someone corrects you, your boss, you as a parent, when you correct your children, maybe your husband says, hey, listen, we're not doing it that way, and you come under submission to what he says, and you have to fall in line with what he says over his household, right? When that authority comes down the pike, what is your response? Ask yourself that question. What is my response? Is your response, because so-and-so did it, and you're pointing fingers all of a sudden, justifying, making excuses. That's what that is. That is not true repentance. Saul then said, well, I am sorry then. And he said, this is what Saul said. I am sorry. Tell the Lord I'm sorry, but can you, Samuel, go back with me and talk to the people so that I look good? That right there is not a repentant heart. That right there is he said sorry because he got caught. But a repentant heart should have been what David did when David failed, right? So then we move on. David is now king and ruler over them. David fails. He murders, you know the story of David. He slept with, a lady, then he got her husband killed, yada, 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 yada. Nathan comes and tells him about it. Another prophet has to go and take care of a king again because remember, God was supposed to be our only king, but we as humans are going to fail, so he has to keep us in line. And so here's David. And when David gets confronted on some serious issues, you know what David's response was? Totally opposite than Saul's. Oh God, do with me what you need to do with me. I am so sorry. God, strike me. God, just if you need to smite me, I get it. Like God, your will be done. His heart was broken before the Lord. That's why God can say he's a man after my own heart. Because God can work with a broken and a contrite spirit because they're teachable. Because you can work with them. Saul was unteachable. Saul was prideful. Saul repented because he got caught and then only cared about himself after. Check our hearts. Disobedience. So wait, let me read this first. Let me go back. So this is what Saul should have done. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captive to the obedience of Christ. Saul could have changed that situation by how? Let's go back in his story. They're on the battlefield. They capture King Ag. He could have, in that moment, killed King Ag, like he was supposed to, but he didn't. When the men started gathering all the best sheep and all the best goats, he said, oh, sure, keep them. But you know what he should have said? He should have gone up and killed them himself. If the people wouldn't have done it, he was the leader, he should have done it. Because God gave him a command and he asked him to do something and he didn't follow through. You see, it's casting those imaginations down. When God tells us to do something, the enemy will be the first one to come in and say no. The first one that will try and find your way out of things. He will give you a plan to not do what God wants you to do. This is a battle between your flesh and your mind, your body and your soul and your spirit. Remember, we just talked about during praise and worship. This is what's going on in the spirit realm. It's all working together. And so Saul could have and should have walked and operated in that way, but he didn't. What are we going to do as God's daughters? We want to. All of us truly want to do what God needs us to do. But you're going to have to stop yourself when that pride comes in, and you're going to have to check yourselves. And maybe there's going to be a need to be a little accountability with some people that say, you're a little prideful in this area. Like, you need to change it. You need to really check your heart. I had to go to Micah today and say, listen, hear me out. I'm not saying this because I'm mean mommy, or I don't want to listen to you, or because you're not right in what happened. I'm saying this to you because I love you and I need you to hear me. I want my heart to speak to your heart today. So what I told him, I said, be careful that pride doesn't come in and doesn't mess with you. And I said, so then we went in the word and we got into the word together and we prayed together. And he was very humble after that. Listen, you may have to do that with each other. Your husband and you might need to get together and have some real conversations. Like, listen, I think we've been prideful in this area. Like, God has blessed us and now we're just like, ooh, look at us. So we're so flaunty with what God's given us. Maybe you are prideful in that. Who knows where these things are going? Maybe you're prideful in, you're healing and you're just like constantly like, well, just believe God, you know, and you're judging other people because they're not doing that. That's a spirit of pride. When you put judgment on someone else, it's not your place. It's not your place. Let it go. Release that. Put that back into God's hands. If it bothers you, it's bothering you so you could pray about it. It's not bothering you so you could fix it. That was for free. Okay. Disobedience can distance us from God. So here's Saul. He's now totally not favoring in God's eyes. In fact, God is saying he's sorry he even made him king. Let's go to 1 Samuel 27 through 29. As Saul turned to go, Saul tried to hold him back. Saul tried to hold Samuel back. And he tore the hem of his robe. So Samuel was leaving. The last words that Samuel had said to Saul here, he said, let me just go back real quick. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So Saul reached out and he turned to go and grab the hem of Samuel's robe. And do you know what happens? It tore. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else, one who is better than you. That was probably hard to hear. And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not human that he should change his mind. You see, sometimes you try and put God in a box and we try and say, well, God would think of it like this because I think of it like this. Listen, he is not human. He is God. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. He can do what he wants to do, and he is still God. If he sent me to hell, he would still be God, and he would be just in it because he's God. And so when we play games with God and we try and put him in our little world, we're foolish. When God says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. And when God says that things need to be done a certain way, it's for a reason. It's to better you, it's to better his people, and it's to better his kingdom. When we choose to do it our own way, he will disqualify us. It puts distance between us and God. That's what happened to Samuel. I had to check my heart. Lord, I don't want distance between you. I'm so hungry for you every day. God, is there something going on inside of me that I need to change? Is there thought patterns that need to change? Is there desires in my heart that are ungodly, leading me down paths of unrighteousness? Things that would hurt me down the road or my family or the church? You see, we have to keep our hearts aligned to what God wants. When we keep our hearts aligned, we can stay connected, but disobedience will distance us from the throne room of God. It goes on. Disobedience will do the last thing. It will also disqualify us. You wonder why you got passed up for a position in ministry. You wonder why God hasn't used you in a long time. I don't know. I don't know what your questions are in your heart. God, why haven't you used me to do this or that or this, what I thought was in my heart so long ago? Maybe God is saying to you, there's some things that you haven't been willing to look at. So I can't advance you in your position. I can't advance you to the next spot because he looks at our heart. Listen, I'll tell you something. Every person on our pastoral staff has had to take a knife and fillet ourselves. You may not see it, but it is not fun. It is not fun. It is not fun when every little piece of your personality has to go to the throne room. Am I right, Beth? And you are getting in trouble with your superiors, but you realize you're not getting in trouble with your superiors. You're getting in trouble with God. Because there's things inside of me that I have to change so that I can speak into your hearts, so that I can hear the voice of God clearly and there's no disconnect and there's no disqualification. So that hopefully and prayerfully the word of God will get into your heart and you will bring it to your children and your grandchildren and to your households and to our nation. You see, you are the full-time ministers and we have a mission, but we will be disqualified for our mission if we don't do what God has asked us to do. If we act like Saul instead of David. I want to be a girl after God's own heart. I don't want to be a man that God wants to disqualify. 1 Samuel 16:1 goes on and it says, one day he said, Samuel, I have rejected Saul and I refuse to let him to be king any longer. Stop feeling sad about him. Because you know, us as pastors, our hearts get heavy on things like this. There's been so many times that even just this week, there's been so many weird transitions happening in our offices and things happening. My heart's been heavy. And the Lord's saying to me, stop feeling sorry about this. Stop. Because this is their heart issue. You can't fix it. This is something I have to put into place. These are things that have to happen. So it's okay. It's okay. You see, you're gonna see people hurting. You're gonna wanna help. You're gonna wanna reach out. And if they don't listen to maybe that accountability, if they don't listen to maybe like, okay, well, what's going on here? Why did you say that? You have to correct yourself and say, I'm sorry, I really am sorry, that sucks. I shouldn't have done that. It's just a simple I'm sorry, and it gets you right back on track, guys. And it's not the soul I'm sorry, it's the I'm sorry, I'm gonna change. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. You see, it's not about us. If we could get past us, it's easier to forgive. If we can get past us, it's easier to obey. If we can get past us and we realize this world and everything we do in it is only for Him, then our lives have so much more purpose. Our identity makes so much more sense. We want to do, we want to be pleasing to God because we're so in love with Him. This is the bigger picture here. And God sees the intent of those things. So then how do I stay out of this kind of devastation of disobedience? How, Pastor Jess, because this is depressing. Ready? Number 5, obey God. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. He'll drop something in your heart and you'll go, was that God? And you know what? All of a sudden, you'll get a confirmation, that was me, it's okay. Or you'll get some weird twisted thought and you're like, oh, that was not God. Can I tell you what happened to me this week? When I was studying for this message on Wednesday morning, I don't remember what day it was, what day is it? Why are you following me? Okay. I literally don't know what time of the day it is ever. And when I was studying, I just said, okay, God, me and you. And I'm like hoping no little pitter patter of feet come down the stairs, you know? And I'm like, hurry up, God, hurry up, because they're coming, you know? And I'm like trying to get it in. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden, I'm not kidding you, I felt like I was gonna throw up. Like this incredible sickness came on me. And I had my hand over my mouth and I was like, thinking to myself, how can I get to the bathroom fastest? And I hate that feeling. You know, last time I threw up was when I was pregnant and I never ever want to have to do that again. So it was just horrifying to me. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on here? I was just fine. And now all of a sudden I'm sick. And it was so evil. I felt like something was lurking over me. And I heard this voice, listen to this. Listen, you're not feeling well. You need to go back to bed. Go tell Dan to get the kids ready and that you're gonna rest this morning. And that maybe Pastor Michelle should find someone else to preach tomorrow. And I went, God, was that you? And you know what he said? No, that was not me. Get in faith. This is an attack. Tell that thing to go to hell. So I did. I said, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. I rebuke you, you foul thing. I automatically stopped feeling like I had to throw up. I automatically was able to just get on with my day and move on. Did you even know I was feeling so sick? I mean, I'm not kidding you. If I would have just listened to the other voice, because that voice was cozy. That voice got me out of having the pressure. That voice got me like free and it was more comfortable and would have been way easier to follow the voice of go back to bed and let your husband serve you and take care of everything else. No. God says, get up. Get to work. You got something to say. I need to say something. Get up. Quit being a big baby. Get up. Don't let this thing overtake you. Command the devil to go back to hell. Listen, girls, obey him. I could have disobeyed that day and done what I wanted to do and listened to the voice of the enemy, but I had to obey God. When we obey God, guess what it does? Puts us in right position with him, which is such a beautiful thing. When we are in the favor of God, when we are pleasing to God, guess what happens? We flourish. Just like I preached this weekend, we flourish, we dance, we have blessings. You wonder why some people are blessed more than others? Find out what they're doing in their spiritual walk with God. I'm gonna talk about you, Robin, for a second. Do you mind? This is my best friend, Robin. We've been best friends for like 24 years. And Robin and Tim have served God deeply. And when they had little baby Ryan, he was Down syndrome. You guys probably saw some of his their testimony at the conference. They have four children. She's probably the best mom I've ever met in my whole life. She keeps that house running. She loves her kids big. She adores her husband. She serves the house. They're incredible givers to this house, and they love God deeply. And sometimes I know people can look at Robin, and Robin is not comfortable with some of the blessings God's poured out on her, because God has blessed her husband financially. He just has favor. I'm telling you, he somehow opens his mouth and he sells 1 million dishwashers. That's what he does. He sells appliances. See, God can pour out favor on anything. But when your heart is right, people will look at them and judge them at times. Oh, why do they have this? Why do they go on nice vacation? They do. Listen to me. Good for you. Because I know you behind the scenes. And you guys pray like you've never prayed. They're in the face of God. They open their word. They love the house. They're faithful to their tithe. And offering, guys. And offering above and beyond. Let that be a testimony of why God blesses his children. Because year after year, when they could have not been those people, they chose to be those people. Year after year, when they got criticized, they stayed on course with what God asked them to do. And it wasn't comfortable. And it's not easy raising little Rye guy. And it's not easy having four kids, just period. But you know what? God says, that's an awesome job, and you're raising my kids. And so there's favor on them. There's blessing on them. You see, when we walk and we obey and do what God has asked us to do, it may not be popular to the people around us, and people want to judge you. Listen to me. Do not judge the blessings of other men. You do not know what they've done before God. You should celebrate it, because God is doing something in their lives. And can I say this? God is not a respecter of persons. He's not. What he's done for Robin and Tim, what he's done for Dan and I, what he's done for Dr. Vanessa and her beautiful family, God can do it for you too. God can do it for you too. He's not a respecter of persons. Just obey him. Just do what he says. Sometimes that just sounds so simple, but it's really hard when you're in the moment. So take the moment. Obedience will bring us beautiful humility. Sometimes being humbled by God is not fun, but it can be a beautiful process. So when we choose to obey God, he'll humble us. Obedience opens doors of blessing, like we just talked about. Obedience connects us, and listen to me, it qualifies us for the kingdom of God. I want to be qualified for God's kingdom. Simply do what he says. If you haven't heard from God lately, let me give you a little tip. Go back and ask God what he told you to do that you did not do. Because you have not heard from God because you may be in disobedience. I talked to somebody and they said this to me, said, I'm so miserable. I don't know where to go in life. Everything's stopping. My job is stopping. It's like every door shutting. And they were in the young adults group when we did shift, and we said, well, obviously God is trying to get through to you about something. What did he tell you to do that you did not do? And do you know what this person said? It's when we were planting Coachella Valley. And he said, God told me to go help them plant that church, and I didn't. And he goes, I'm leaving now. And he packed his family up, and they moved out to Coachella and helped Pastor Eddie and Donna plant that church. Do you know that he got this incredible paying job while he was out there? He got like the best schools for his kids. They had a really, really nice house that they've never had before in their whole lives. They lived poor here, and they lived blessed there. Why? Because he went back to what God told him to do, and he walked in obedience. You see, obedience unlocks so many things for us. We can live like David, blessed, or we can live like Saul, cursed. Let's go back to that picture. Can you put that picture back up? These are all the blessings in Deuteronomy. These are all the curses if we disobey. God's not playing with our hearts. He wants all of your heart today. He wants all of our lives today.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.